viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors. It's time for The Edge Radio Broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio Broadcast, here's Daniel Lott.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Edge Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Daniel Lott. We've got a great show lined up for you this evening. On our newsmaker line this evening with us is going to be Jordan Maxwell. You've waited all week for this one. Many of you have emailed questions to the show all week long. We have a pile of questions we will present to Jordan Maxwell. For all of our affiliate stations, thank you for joining us. And those listening worldwide on the internet at www.theedgeam.com, welcome back. You can go to the edgeam.com website, click your questions now for Jordan Maxwell as we talk about secret societies. Jordan Maxwell has conducted dozens of intensive seminars, hosted his own radio talk shows, has had been on more than 600 shows, and he's been talking about this subject since 1959. He knows what he speaks of. You can listen to this great interview tomorrow on the edgeam.com website without commercials. We're going to go right to him, bringing him on now, Jordan Maxwell. Welcome to the Edge Broadcast.
Well, thank you, Daniel. Thank you for being here.
Well, it's good to have you on. We've got, as I said in the intro, we have a pile of questions for you. You evidently have a large contingency who like to hear what you have to say.
Well, I appreciate that, but just remember, just because you're asking questions, it doesn't mean I know the answers, because, I appreciate the generosity a lot of people have when announcing me, but I'm not the world's foremost expert on anything. I'm just an ordinary man.
You know, it sounds really good, though.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, welcome to the show. Now, you've been on a number of talk shows, and you host your own show, I guess. What's that about?
Well, I mean, I've hosted my own show many times, too. I've had actually three different shows over the years that were network shows, and I've done over 600, interviews and all kinds of stuff. If you go on my website under bio, you'll see some of the things I've been doing. And I've always been interested in theology and religion, but because of the political situation that the world finds itself in, this is very disturbing to me that I have to talk politics when my real love is theology and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Don't those really
have a lot in common, though, Jordan?
Well, yeah. There's never been a religion in the world that wasn't political, and there's never been a political movement in the world that wasn't religious. So, yeah, politics and religion are the same thing. This is why my mother used to say there were two things that we don't talk about in this house, and that's politics and religion. Well, I've often wondered, where do we get all of that ideas? Who told us that the two things we don't talk about is politics and religion? I think it's the politicians and the religious leaders who don't want us talking about it. And so I gravitated to both at a very early age. I want to talk about it. I want to find out what's going on. And why am I being played for a fool? And I don't buy it. Never have bought it. I don't buy people's projections on me. In psychology, there is a phenomenon called projection, when people project their belief systems on you. And therefore, for you to be accepted by the group, you have to, mold your viewpoints to the group's viewpoint in order for you to be accepted. And of course, children are very apt to want to be accepted by their peers, so children are very easily molded by the group. And so since the whole group is criminal, the kids, all they learn is criminal activity because they don't have the adult supervision, and young people, generally speaking, are not that well-versed in morality and ethics and scruples. So consequently, it's the blind leading the blind. The children lead the children, and consequently, there's very few people left in the world who have the savvy and the intellectual savvy to know what's going on in the world and what the right thing to do is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jordan, do you think that people need to have a college degree to study and to free themselves from, as you said, it being pushed on somebody else, somebody else's stuff being pushed on you?
Well, I think the college degree is what I'm talking about. I think that is, that's what I'm talking about. I think you should run as quick as you can away from a college degree or any of the rest of the so-called higher forms of education. Mm-hmm. Because once you understand how the system really works, and, you know, we have an educational system, but the very word system is a Latin word for the sewer. And we still use that term today in America, the sewer system. But in actual fact, in ancient Rome, the sewer was to as the system. And so consequently today we have a sewer system for education, knowledge, for government. The entire thing it's a massive.
Do you think that people should homeschool their kids?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the American schools are the most atrocious thing that we have going for us. This is why our country is in trouble. Our children are not only not being taught anything, they are being propagandized and come out totally ill-informed as to who they are, where they're going. And
in its place, what are they putting in its place, Jordan?
Say that again.
What are the public schools putting in the place of, say, direction?
It's a term that we refer to today as politically correct, which means if you're politically correct, you do not think un-German thoughts. When in Nazi Germany, you would not want to think un-German thoughts. You would not want to think by yourself and be an individual who would question government and question theology, question authority, because that would be un-German, and we wouldn't want to do that. And so therefore, if you're going to have a job and be able to support your family, you will go along to get along. And so consequently, what we're being taught in our schools is how to earn a living, but they do not teach you how to live. So they want to teach you just like they do chimpanzees in a zoo, how to put the screws in and the bolts and mm-hmm. how to do your job, whatever it is.
Okay.
And that's all you need to know, to do your job.
Okay, what about, say, theologians or ministers? Should they get degrees in their field as well?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Did Jesus?
Not that
did
I know.
Buddha?
I think he got it from a higher power.
Well, yeah, well... The higher power today is the government. Either you get a permit from the government or a license. You have to have a minister's license, which the very word license means a permit to do something, which without that permit would be unlawful. So therefore, it's unlawful for you to know anything about God, spirituality, or anything without getting a government license.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand what the concept of a license is, where the word comes from, what it means, then you'll begin to understand why you can't even get married without a license.
Okay.
You need to understand words. Words in commerce and government are an absolute trip.
Okay.
And you start breaking down the words. I mean, classic example, I've used it before, is when you go to court. Well, why does anybody go to court? Well, you go to court the same reason why you play tennis on a court and basketball on a court. You go to court to put the ball back in the other guy's court. And therefore you have one team on one side and they throw the ball back in the other guy's court, and then that team of attorneys stands up and throws the ball back in the other side. And so the whole idea is to see who makes the most points, and then the referee comes out, because you got to have a referee in any game. So the referee comes out wearing a black robe, and everyone rises, and he is said to sit on the bench. He rules from the bench, and of course a bench, if you look it up in a Latin dictionary, bench means a bank. In ancient Rome, if you went to put your money somewhere, you'd take it to the bench. And so the judge walks out, everyone rises, because he represents the bank. And therefore, you know, he's up on high, you look up to him, he can look down on you. And it's just an extraordinary stuff once you begin to understand how the whole entire system works.
All right, do you believe that religion is playing a part in George Bush's presidency?
Well, I don't see how you could come up with anything but that. But what you really need to know is that religion has played a part in the entire superstructure of Western civilization. The very fact that if you look at Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. is simply, it's astounding. Go on my website and you will see the pictures and documents on this subject of how the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. has a dome on it. A lot of people don't know that in ancient Rome, the seat of power where Caesar actually ruled Rome from was called Capitol Hill. It was referred to as Capitoline Hill or Capitol Hill. And what was up on Capitol Hill? Well, the Senate. The Roman Senate was up on Capitol Hill. And therefore, up in the Senate, and the Senate building in Rome had a dome. And this is why the Capitol today and up on the hill has a dome. Mm-hmm. It's called a domus.
Yeah.
When you begin to look at the architecture, the words, the terms, the symbols.
Yeah. Well, what do the Masons have to do with the architecture of the dome?
Well, the you know, Masonry can be traced back even into the Roman Empire. They were called the artisans, the Dionysian artifactors is a term that was given to the Masonic order in the Roman Empire, the Dionysian artifactors. But much of what we call today American architecture actually goes back to the Roman Empire. As I said, our government is a Roman system. And of course, Masonry has played its part, but I'm not condemning American Masonry, because American Masonry helped build our freedoms. But the entire superstructure of Washington, D.C. is a Roman system. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of very good reference works in the libraries that will tell you that the very land that we today, that 10 miles square, that's what it is, it's 10 miles square, called Washington, D.C. And the District of Columbia is actually only 10 miles square, and that 10 miles square, before it became known as the District of Columbia, was called Rome. It was owned by a Jesuit family, because the Catholic Church could not own any land in this country. According to the laws of this country, the Catholic Church was not allowed to own any land in this country. So there was a very wealthy family who were Jesuit. They were all Jesuits in the family. They owned that property at 10 miles square back in 1770s. And they donated it to the corporation that was later to become known as the United States of America. And so Washington, D.C. was owned by the Jesuits. And this is why the presidents of all of the hierarchy of the Roman government that now is over us, Caesar, Tiberius Caesar now rules in Rome, up on the hill in the Senate. And the reason why all of this is happening, because we Americans have no concept of history. We have, It's a subject which is totally unimportant to us.
Well,
and it makes sense why it would be unimportant, because obviously ancient history has nothing to do with basketball, has nothing to do with football.
Well, what would happen if we understood the history the way you say that it really was?
I think if you really understood what was going on, and if you really understood the words, I think that people would be frightened. There would be mass panic across the country, panic everywhere, and this is why the powers that be make sure that you don't need to know any of this. All of this is on a need-to-know basis, and the working class people of America don't need to know, because it will make them a little shaky and they'll become frightened. So you give them plenty of alcohol and plenty of games and football and basketball and plenty of games and sports, because the people love that.
And reality TV.
And reality TV, that's nice too. That's always good for a few hours. And, think about it. Just think about the logic of the life you live. Think about the things that you see every day in your life and never even paid attention to. When adults are getting together to discuss important things, and a group of adults come over to your home and there's something important that you have to talk about, but the children are there, what do you do with the children while the adults are talking important subjects? Well, you send them out to play. And usually, what do children want to play? They want to play ball. And so it's always great if daddy goes out and throws the first ball for the children, because all the kids are impressed, because daddy will come out and play with them to get them started. And so that's what we have. We have children going out and playing ball while the masters, the intellectual elite of this country, are living high. They are manipulating and exploiting and raping and plundering and doing whatever they want, because they know the American people, all they want to do is watch basketball. That's all they want, that's all they know, and that's all they deserve to know. And consequently, I'm just saying that I don't care. I'm 65 years old, I have no family, I own nothing, so I'll be leaving the world soon. So I don't care, but I do love this country, and I do love the people, and I do understand how the world works. And once you begin to see the words and the terms and the symbols and the emblems and the national coats of arms and the heraldry and the presidential seals and flags and, oh, my God, man, mm-hmm. when you start to really study this mm-hmm. stuff.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're talking about secret societies. What secret societies having the biggest effect on us right now?
I would think that the most dangerous one that we have right now is called Propaganda Due, P2. It's referred to as P2 in Europe, or Propaganda Due. It is connected to Opus Dei. It is, for lack of a better term to try and describe it, it is a right-wing fascist, pro-Nazi, bloodletting society.
Whoa.
It's a very, very frightening, fearful.
And this society is working in our country right now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes.
Who's a member? Do you know any members of that society?
Well, I'm not going to say them on the air.
However,
I will tell you this, that Ronald Reagan, at his inaugural party when he was first made president, Lucio Gelli was there. There are pictures in the magazines of Lucio Gelli and Michael Sadona, Lucio Gelli were at the inaugural party for Ronald Reagan. Lucio Gelli was the Grand Master of the the Propaganda Due. And this whole subject I'm talking about is in the movie Godfather 3. The third in the series is about Propaganda Due, P2 Lodge in the Vatican. So if you want a little background on it, just go rent Godfather 3 and watch it. And just remember that the same kind of thing that's going on in the movie, that's what's happening here.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. I've said this before. Maybe people have heard it, but I'll say it again. If you have a two-story building and you're going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, before you do that, it would be wise to first of all go downstairs with a building engineer, structural engineer, and go on a ladder and look up through the ceiling tiles and look at the foundation of the floor you're going to build on to see if the floor is going to hold that kind of weight. Well, what you're doing now is you're standing under the subject that you're going to build on. You're standing under to get understanding. This is where the concept of understanding comes from. Is you have, don't look at the basis of what people tell you. Do your homework and find out what the real word means, what, where the words come from, because that's how we're being tricked. We're being tricked and deceived by the use of words. You need to understand that that's the way people are controlled, is by words. And if you don't understand words, you're never going to understand commerce and what that word means. Well, it's just an extraordinary adventure in treason when you begin to look at how words are used to manipulate the human family. And,
all right, well,
I'll tell you what,
Jordan, give us a key word that we use every day or that we know maybe on the nightly news. What word would you suggest we that fits that category?
Well, I would start with church. C-H-U-R-C-H. That's a good place to start. I mean,
right.
We could go for hours on this one. Words. But a classic example is the word church. People go to church, and it's spelled as an English word. But what you don't know is that the English word church can be traced back in the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. Go to the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language. It's about a 15-volume set on the English language, and it will tell you that the word church goes back to a Scottish word, kirk, like Captain Kirk of the ship Enterprise.
All right.
Kirk, K-I-R-K, is Scottish for English church. But kirk can be traced back to a Greek goddess named Circe. And so she was called Mother Circe in ancient Greece. And Mother Circe becomes Mother Kirk, becomes Mother Church. And this is where we get our word church, is from a Greek goddess named Circe. But what's interesting about this is go to the library and get some, books on Greek mythology and look up Mother Circe, Mother Kirk, or Mother Church. And you will see Mother Circe was able to hypnotize people, bring them into her house, lock the door behind them, and they would lose their minds, and then she would turn them into animals and feed off of them. And according to Greek mythology, the people, once they were locked into the house of Mother Circe, they could not get out, and she took their minds, she took their intellect, and they turned them into animals and then would feed off of them. They would feed her and kelp feed her.
Mm-hmm.
That's Greek mythology. Well, of course, that's what we have today. We have people going to church, paying out money and giving checks, and have no idea in the world what's going on behind theology in America. The very word God is dog spelled backwards. You put a D, the letter D, in front of the word evil, and it becomes devil. So devil, and then, of course, the root word for our word God goes back to a German word, Gott, G-O-T-T, or Goth.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us Gothic architecture, Gothic cathedral.
Well, Jordan, let me ask you this. Is the Statue of Liberty, the Lady Liberty, does that represent Mother Circe in any way?
It's somehow connected to an ancient goddess, but it's not Circe. And incidentally, the Statue of Liberty, there's a world of difference. There is a huge world of difference in law. If you are confronted in a federal court, you will find out for the first time that there is a world of difference between being between the two words, freedom and liberty. Liberty is what a sailor gets when he pulls into port on ship. You get liberty, which means you ask the captain if you can leave the ship. And this is why the Statue of Liberty had to be put in water, because it's a maritime term. It's a maritime word. Liberty. This is what a sailor gets. Liberty simply means you ask permission. You don't just walk off. Everything in our country has to do with maritime law, with the law of the ocean, because on the earth there's only two things. There's earth and there's water. That's all there is on the on this planet. So since there's only two fundamental parts to our planet, water and earth, there are only two kinds of law. There's the law of the land and the law of the sea. And once you understand the law of the sea as the law of water or the law of money, this is why the Vatican is called the Holy See. I'm telling you that once you begin to break down words, and you're going to have to spend at least 40 years doing it.
Okay.
After 40 years of breaking this down, mm-hmm. it's going to blow your mind.
Well, you say there's a lot of word play. Now, are words words, or do words hurt people?
Well, no, words will kill you. Let me give you an example of how it's strangling you and you don't even know it. As I said, there are two kinds of law on the earth, the law of the land and the law of the sea. The law of the sea is the law of money, the cash flow, the liquid assets. And consequently, let me give you a quick example of how this works. All ships, whether it's a rocket ship, sailing ship, or an airship, all ships are referred to in maritime law as a she. All ships are female. Why? Because they are the ones that deliver the product. And when a ship pulls into port, it parks at the dock. And where it parks at the dock, it's tied off at the dock. Where it sits, it's called its berth. It's sitting in her berth. The ship is sitting in her berth. And therefore, the captain has to produce a certificate of manifest for each item being brought into this country. Why? Because money is changing hands. The items are coming in off of water. They're coming in on a ship. And this is what happens when you buy something. They're going to ship it to you. So consequently, items are coming in. They've been shipped here. And the ship is sitting in water, and therefore money is changing mm-hmm. hands, because the law of money is the law of water.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, as I said, the captain has to present a certificate of manifest for each product. And the same thing is true that when you were born, you came down your mother's birth canal, and you were mm-hmm. wrapped in water. You were sealed in water. So when her water broke, you came out, and she, the ship, she delivered you.
Well, how does that information kill you?
Well, I'm getting to that. So
okay.
therefore, she is giving birth to you, so therefore you have to have a birth certificate. And if you drop one of those TVs or cars as you're taking it off, it's no good, so you have to have a death certificate. So the birth certificate and death certificate have to be signed by the dock, and the dock has to sign your birth certificate. Well, of course it did. And then when you walk into a court, you have a fence with a gate, and most people go into a court never even thought about why there's a fence and a gate. And as I said, in a courtroom, the judge rules from the bench, which is a bank. And where do you find banks? Well, you find a bank on both sides of the river. You know, they're called river banks. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. And so, therefore, your money is a currency, or the cash flow. And electricity is involved in this symbolism also. So that the bottom line is that you will work your whole life, working every day to pay your bills and stay alive, never realizing that you're being used and manipulated and exploited with words. And if you understood how the system works, you would be totally free of all of the manipulation and usury. But people don't realize how they're being played for fools.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand the way the system works. Now,
mm-hmm.
I could go on for hours talking about words and terms, and there's actually two of you when you understand that there's two of everything. There's two states. You live in two different states right now. You live in Indiana State and the state of Indiana. Doesn't mean the same thing at all. State of Indiana means one thing. Indiana State means something totally different in law. Most people don't know that, so therefore it doesn't matter. But in point of fact, in federal courts and in banking, international banking that's being done in your state, the banking laws strictly stipulate there is a world of difference between mm-hmm. Indiana State and the state of Indiana. Okay. Doesn't mean the same thing at all.
All right, we've got a number of questions here that people want to get in, so...
Well, let me preface before we do that.
Okay.
Just because, as I said before, I'm not the world's foremost authority on everything and
gotcha.
Anything.
Not a problem.
So I'll try to answer the question.
Well, I'll am. If you miss something there, I'll go ahead and fill in because I do know everything.
Okay.
All right. Here's a question for you. Let's go here to the Fast Blast. It says, do you know what the Tree of Knowledge actually represents and where that idea came from?
Well, yeah, that's... well... You know, Zachariah Sitchin, my friend Zachariah Sitchin, has written about the Tree of Knowledge. I've had different interpretations. Could be the DNA strand in our blood system. There's been different interpretations put on it. Then, of course, the tree that Jesus was hung on has been called the Tree of Knowledge. It goes back to the whole concept of the Tree of Knowledge can be traced back to the Druids, the ancient Druidic religion. And incidentally, while we're on the ancient Druidic religion, the worship of trees, one of the most important symbols in the old Druid religion was the magic wand. Magic wands were made out of the wood of a holly tree, and so that's why we... you know, still have Hollywood with us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, that whole idea of the Tree of Knowledge is just pregnant with possibilities because it's been used by so many cultures.
Yeah, we'd be better off without Hollywood, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
All right, here's some more questions for you. Do you think the chip is the mark of the beast?
Well, I think the whole concept of the chip is, if it isn't the mark of the beast, it sure missed a good chance because... that whole idea of a chip is really scary. That's really frightening that there are people in this world that would like to put electrical units and chips inside of other humans so they can keep track on them.
How far away are we from that, Jordan?
I think we're already there. It's already there. We got chips in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they can trace you from a satellite because of your electrical frequency being given off of your body? Your body gives off an electrical frequency that only your body does. It's called Earth Resonant Frequency, but everybody's is different. And they can mm-hmm. trace you right from a satellite. All they got to do is home in on you and read your body electrical...
mm-hmm.
You know, the electricity coming off of your body, and then put it into a computer, and now the satellite can find you anywhere.
Yeah,
they're already putting chips in people and children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, got a question then. I guess I've always
already
felt like, I think they've always been watching us, and I think you just added credence to that. Do you believe that there is a planet Nibiru, and what's your quick comment on the Nephilim?
Well, yeah, the Nephilim, I think, probably has some value in that whole subject. There is something to this idea, I believe. I'm convinced myself that there was a far more ancient civilization in the world. I think we know that now for a fact. I think scientists, even the most ill-informed, unread scientists, and God knows we got plenty of them, but I think even the most ill-informed now realize that mm-hmm. there has been ancient civilizations, because we're finding temples off the coast of Japan in the ocean. We're finding huge temples off the coast of Cuba in the ocean. As a matter of fact, there's a huge pyramid sitting on the ocean floor in the Atlantic, 10 miles north of the 10 miles north of Bimini, the island mm-hmm. of Bimini. It's called the Bahama Banks, and mm-hmm. in the Bahama Banks is a huge pyramid, larger than the one in Egypt,
really?
Sitting on the ocean floor.
That wouldn't be Atlantis down there, would it?
Oh, I have no idea. That's what Plato said it was, and that's what Solon, the Egyptian priest, told. His name was Solon, S-O-L-O-N, and he told the ancient Greeks, and Plato in particular, that there was an ancient civilization. And of course, in Mexico, mm-hmm. and Central America, the Toltec peoples and the and the ancient peoples of Mexico will tell you that they came from. They have a tradition that their people, ancient Mexicans, came from a land from an island that was to the east, far east of them, and it was called Atlan, A-T-L-A-N. That's in history books. And so, that's why we have Atlanta, mm-hmm. Georgia, Atlanta, Atlantic, New Jersey. So the very word Atlan was a word given to an ancient civilization that existed in the middle of the Atlantic, or what we call the Atlantic Ocean. But mm-hmm. we know that there are, see, the problem with all of this is that we are actually finding huge square stones laying in the deepest part of the Atlantic out there. We are seeing stones that are all laid in a long line, squared, and that you don't find that in
nature.
Nature. So we know these stones must have been put there, and if you've got a pyramid, my God, how do you get around that one? I got a pyramid mm-hmm. sitting out there on the floor of the Atlantic Ocean. And Americans have been watching so much basketball, they don't even know there is a pyramid out there.
Okay.
And another thing is when uh-huh. the British were drilling for oil off the coast of England in the North Sea, they're bringing up, when they hit the bottom of the Atlantic and start drilling into the ocean floor, going down for oil, they are sucking up all the stuff that they're cutting into, and they're finding all kinds of artifacts and gold jewelry and everything. We're talking about under the Atlantic Ocean, there are artifacts. What is that telling you? Is there something going on here that our masters who own us and control our country and control us and mm-hmm. and seek to own our bodies, but they're not telling us about these ancient peoples who lived on the earth? No, mm-hmm. I'm totally convinced that there were ancient civilizations, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there is not, in point of fact, some of them still with us today.
And just for everybody listening, due to a timing, an hour discrepancy, Jordan's only going to be with us here for this hour. Speaking about the powers that be, Jordan, the question is, the powers that be almost have total control over us. This is from the Fast Blast on the Edge website. Do you see any way for us to escape this control? And if all of us woke up right now, in reality, what could we do about it?
All right, now, up until now, I have known about this problem for many, many years. But I can tell you, yes, there is something that you can do, and it's extremely powerful. But the powers that be behind the world scenes do not want you to know anything about this. And I will guarantee you, I'm not going to get into it tonight because it will take a couple of hours just to lay out the concept. But there is a profound truths that are known about the governmental system that is operating in the Western world. How this entire governmental superstructure of England, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America, and the English-speaking world is set up on a very powerful secret governing arrangement. And once you understand what that arrangement is and how it is connected directly to the Bible. So when you're reading, and this is the best I can do for you at the moment. Okay. When you read the New Testament, you need to understand the New Testament. And what I'm trying to tell you is that there is a Bible code, but it is not the kind of code that you've been hearing about. What you've been hearing about Bible codes and the Da Vinci Code, I am convinced, I've only been looking at this for over 40 years, I am convinced that all of this new stuff with Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the Da Vinci Code, and all this new jazz coming out mm-hmm. about some kind of a Bible code, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, this is all a front for a secret society's Priority Sion. The Priority de Sion in France is merely one faction of a far bigger secret society operating in Europe that is promoting the idea of a, and I'm not impressed at all with the books like Da Vinci Code, because I know where they're coming from. I know what these guys who are writing this stuff are doing. I've got their number.
Are you saying this is a slight, these are sleights of hand to misdirect us from the truth?
That's exactly what it is.
What is the truth? What is that
code? Well, the real truth is, like I said, you're going to find out is an encoded story in the New Testament. And the only thing that this Da Vinci Code, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and other many other books that are now coming out about the Priority de Sion, the Merovingian bloodline, all of these subjects, the only thing these subjects are doing, which is redeemable value, is that they are drawing attention to the fact that there is something very, very sinister and very frightening about what's the Bible, about what's in the Bible, because there's something going on here, and it's on a very high level, and the Bible has not maintained itself around the world and been the basis for presidents coming into office, put their hands on the Bible. The kings of England must bow before it. All of the potentates in Europe must bow on their knees before the Bible. Why? Because there's something else going on, and it doesn't have anything to do with what you think about God and theology and religion. No, no, there's something else about that book called the Bible that will absolutely be frightening and devastating when you begin to see what is really there and what the kings and rulers and the papacy and the royalties of Europe have always known, and what the founding fathers of this country knew, then it gets scary. You say, I'm seeing stuff in the Bible I never saw before, and now the things I have been told make sense.
Jordan, is there, you say search for the code. Is there any, can you find the code in any version of the Bible?
No. Well, yes, of course you can do that, but the point is that it's separate from the Bible. In other words, you'd have to understand the words in the Bible. It's a whole story. It's like the movie They Live. You put on the glasses and then you can see clearly who's who. Well, once you understand the code in the Bible, and as I said, there is a code in the Bible, but it's never been talked about before.
How about just a snippet? Just a snippet of that code.
Well, let me just give you one quickie indication. When Jesus says, if somebody has a charge against you, go to them immediately and agree with them. Agree with them and whatever they are saying so that they will not take you to court and put you into jail.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole interesting occult system of law in operation. And if you understand that no matter what anybody comes at you with, no matter what you're being sued for, whatever it is, if you go to them and agree 100% with them, you have just diffused the whole situation. There's a whole story about how this works. And you've been hearing, I'm sure, there's a lot of talk going on about redemption and the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. All of this information people have been hearing is on the peripheral edge of something far, far bigger in the middle. And I'm working on that right now, and I'm going to have a lot of stuff on the website soon dealing with that subject of the real code in the Bible that very few people are privileged to know about.
Okay. All right,
if you go on my website, you'll see a lot of stuff there.
Okay, so everybody, and that's jordanmaxwell.com?
Correct.
All right, then your link is on our website too as well, so everybody make a note of that and go there and check out, see what Jordan has to say. I've got a question here, if you can answer it very quickly. The question is, you apparently say that the World Church of God is created by MI5. Got a little information on that?
Well, I didn't say it was created by them. I'm saying that what we're calling the American cults, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Worldwide Church of God, the Christadelphians. There's quite a few of the what's referred to as the York Rite cults or the American cults, which was started here. They're all basically based on the British Israel World Federation that came into existence back in the 1820s in Europe. This is something you need to go on your website. Go on my website and you will see under, I think it's articles, a little article I've got there just as a very beginning introductory article on British Israel World Federation. And as far back as 1922, as far back as 1932 and 42, I have articles published out of Europe and America by the British Israel World Federation that says, and you go on my website and read it, it says, and this, again, this is back in the 20s and the 30s, they were saying that the end times will begin on September 2001. In the middle of September, it was theorized that the powers that be behind the world thrones will have their situation in hand and be ready for the last and final stroke against the world, and they say in their magazine, mid-September 2001. So I've got to say to myself, wait a minute, let's go back and look at this Anglo-Israel or British Israel World Federation, and then you see where these secret societies coming out of England are being financed. How are they getting their money? Who's putting these people up to doing
it? Mm-hmm. All right. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story. Like I said, go on my website and check it all out. I have a lot of banners. Check out the banners. You'll find the top of the website are a lot of little buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Go to all the buttons, read out all, and go to the banners. It's a lot of material there, and I'm getting a lot more coming.
Okay. Now, this show's been accused of having shows on about three-headed babies, and I went through all the archives, and I couldn't find three-headed babies anywhere in the archives. But here's a question coming in that maybe is not about that, but maybe you can allude to. Do you agree with any of the reptilian information
Coming
from David Icke?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's David Icke.
Okay.
And I brought, personally, I brought David Icke to America back in 1994.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the one that personally that was brought David Icke to America. I told him, I said, David, if I'm going to publish your books and make you a star, you need to understand, in England, it's one thing, but if you spell your name the way you do it in England, In America they're going to call you Icky, and that's not a very good word.
No, I just did it, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what about the reptilian thing?
Well, I for myself, and this is just a judgment call for me, I am totally convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that such things do exist. I know that there is another world, other dimensions around us. Even in Christianity and Judaism talks about the spirits and the evil demons and all of that. Well, I'm totally convinced there is a divine presence, a God, if you please. I have no problem with that, and I am totally convinced that there is, in point of fact, something legitimate about the idea of reptilians. And I have my own reasons for believing that, but I think they are here. But David Icke is not the reason why I believe it. I believed it long before David ever came to me.
Okay, so you found that information and beliefs in another area completely apart from his.
Yeah, yes. I'm convinced that there is something to it.
Do you believe there are any reptilian people in government?
Oh, well, that's different. Now, once you get there, I don't know. I have no idea about that.
Are you saying the reptilian people walk among us, or they're flying around in UFOs, or what?
No, I'm saying that there are different dimensions, and even the best scientists are telling you today, the best physicists we have are saying that there are multiple dimensions around us. We don't see television waves, we don't see radio waves, but they're there. We don't see a lot of the energies that are around us with our eyes, but we can feel it and we know they're there. So there are different dimensions, and scientists are explaining this to us. Well, I am of the opinion that our spirit, I believe all humans are a spirit in a human form. We can only be one of two things. Either you're a human with a spirit or you're a spirit in a human form. But either way, I believe that that there is a spirit that we have, and perhaps when you die, you just go into a different dimension of existence.
Okay.
From which, you know, again, the Bible talks about angels. Well, where do angels come from? Well, they're not here in the physical, but they are here. Okay. And I do believe they are here.
Okay.
I have no problem with that.
All right, Jordan, I know you've got to get to another interview, and can we have you back on again?
Oh, I'd love to. Well, I appreciate being with you. Give me a call anytime.
You bet.